Oh, praise God. Stand with me, lift your hands, and worship the Lord again, would you? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we love you. We worship you. We praise you, God, so much. Thank you, Heavenly Father. You're so wonderful, God. You're so mighty, God. You're so true. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. I had overlooked a couple of people. One, our very own Sarah Clark, is here, all right, in California. And then Nicole Nikilski is here. She had moved out to Boston, but she's here. She was up here singing, and it just looks like we're just having a family reunion here, okay? But we're just thrilled that all of you are here in the house of God, and I trust that this week will be a great week for you. The camp is going on. Brother Thomas was supposed to have promoted the camp, but I'm not for sure that all that business about hot weather was a promotion. But how many of you like hot weather? Okay, all right, okay. I talked with my brother-in-law and sister. It was Tuesday. I said, oh, my, it's hot up here. He said, what's the temperature? I said, 92. 92, it's 106 here. I saw in the paper, too, and Wednesday it was 106 in Little Rock, Arkansas. In Kansas, 114 degrees. All right. And we are here in this air-conditioned building. And isn't this great? Feeling the presence of the Lord. Oh, thank you, God. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis 25, verse 23, and then to Romans, the 9th chapter. We want to read verse 8 through verse 12. Now, before we read this, let me give you the title of my message. The title of my message is, Let the Young Man Be the Boss. Can you feature a group of people together and you ask who is the oldest and sort that out and get down to the youngest? So, well, let him be the boss. That's not normal, is it? Oh, Brother Keith Manley, I didn't even see you. God bless Brother Manley. All right, give him a great big hand. Yes, praise God. All right. And then you take two brothers, and let's say one is younger than the other, and you say, well, why don't we just let the young man be the boss? So in Genesis 25, verse 23, there is a scripture that goes like this, and the Lord said unto her, that is Rebekah, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now, that was a real break with culture. That's what the selling of the birthright was all about. You remember that story? All right, let's go to Romans, the 9th chapter. Well, I like the book of Romans. There's just something about it. The book of Romans lets you in on a lot of the secrets of life and the way that God actually deals with people. So Romans, the 9th chapter, we start reading with verse 8. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for his seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It is said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Now we know that God never hated a person as we know hate, but simply means that he loved him less. Now, God can see tomorrow. And this is talking about the foreknowledge of God. But the thing about it, you may be seated, the thing about it, God knows your tomorrow. But in view of God being able to forgive you of your sins and not even remember what you had done that was wrong, and he has that ability, then he also can look at your future because of his foreknowledge, but he can deal with you as if he didn't really know the decisions or the choices that you would make. Now you may say, can you explain that any further? I can't, because I don't know enough about it. But I do know that God has the ability to deal with Esau, with Jacob, or with John Grant as if he had no knowledge of what tomorrow and what the decisions of tomorrow will be made, will be. I just don't know how that God could see in the distance and know so much about me and yet be so fair in his judgment toward me. But that happens. We see people all the time that come and pray through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost and give their heart to God, never come back to church. And someone said, well, you know, if they got what I got when I first received the Holy Ghost, they wouldn't drop out so fast. Oh? Now, how do you know? How do you know that they didn't get what you got? See, what you're doing, you're basing, you're not basing this upon on what the Bible says. See, God binds himself to an individual for the present moment. Not for what he was, nor what he promises to be, or what God would see that he would actually be. But he binds himself to you for this present moment. So, if a person comes to the altar, repents, baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, if their heart is right at that moment, God awards them accordingly. And so, has nothing to do with what they're going to do tomorrow or the next day. That's a choice, that's a decision that they make. And I look at God and I think about, wow, you know, how fair, how equitable can it be? I would say that most of you, if you knew for a fact that your child was going to mess up, that you would, that would alter the decision that you made concerning something maybe that child wanted to do. But not God. Not God. Now, once you give your heart to God, if you're sincere and honest, and that is, If you pray every day, God's will be done, God's will be done, God sometimes will withhold some blessings simply because that you have prayed that His will be done in your life. And so He won't just shower you with abundance because He knows tomorrow. But you don't. So being that God binds Himself to man for this present moment, not by what He was nor what He will do, then it behooves all of us to make every moment count. Live every moment and be productive in that moment. Now, the Bible talks about the children of the flesh, and it also talks about the children of the promise. In other words, it talks about fleshly seed and it talks about spiritual seed. If you remember when Jesus talks to Nicodemus, John 3, verse 5 through 8, Jesus answered, "Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit." Verse 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." And in verse 8, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." So every one that's born of the Spirit, the Bible says that it's going to come like a wind. You won't know where it came from. You don't know where it's going, but you will hear the sound of it. "And on the day of Pentecost, they spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance." So this parallels the experience that Jesus is prophesying about, this experience that you would receive on the day of Pentecost, the birth of the church. But notice what he said, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit." So if we have been born of the Spirit, then we must have the spiritual man ruling from within. But we must also understand that we still have to deal with the old nature, the old man. Now, in baptism, we bury that old man. Romans, the 6th chapter, the Bible talks about this. Let's just start reading at verse 1. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Verse 5, "For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." But you have to understand that when we talk about redemption, redemption is fully completed when we are changed from mortal to immortal, when the trumpet of the Lord sounds. So we take the old man, we bury the old man, but we still have to contend with this old man, because this old man, if given the opportunity, can resurrect himself. And we all have this propensity towards sin. We were born in sin. We were shapen in iniquity. Now, the old man likes to listen to Satan. The spiritual man likes to listen to God. Now, we must not let the old man come alive. In other words, don't resurrect him. According to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 14, and we will read this, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." Verse 15, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Verse 16, "Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." Verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." In other words, a new being. Totally different. The Greek word "new creature" means new species. And different species that God created back in the days, early days of the book of Genesis, all of these species were defined having their own habitat. This is the reason why that you can't swim underwater. Or you may for a little while, but you, unless you take oxygen with you, you just can't stay underwater. You don't have gills. In other words, you can't convert water, even though it's got oxygen in it. You can't convert it into usable oxygen. On the other hand, you can't fly overhead like the birds. So we are bound and limited to our habitation. But the thing about it is, the old man now is a different species than the new man. So the old man has an environment, and the new man has an environment. The environment for the new man is a spiritual environment. This is the reason why it's necessary to pray and worship, seek God, and walk according to the Spirit. The old man, however, walks according to the lust of the flesh. This is the reason why our world is so perverted. And so many people are walking and living according to the devil's plan that leads to destruction. So we must understand that we are a new species. We can't live in that old environment. Galatians 6:15, the Bible tells us, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." In other words, the Old Testament form of separation was, for the male, was circumcision, but in the New Testament, it talks about circumcision of the heart. In other words, separated in our heart. So don't allow the old man to arise and rule over the new man. I was born November the 14th, 1940. 71 years ago and a few months, he's 72, November the 14th of this year. Oh, how time is passing. July 1st. This is the 183rd day of the year with 183 days left. Halfway. Of course, that's possible to have it even now because this is leap year. That is the days. So, 71. But April 15th, 1961... 51 years ago, I was born again. Now, the important thing is that the 51-year-old man must rule over the 71-year-old man. Now, you may not think that's a big deal. You know, we talk about maybe some young man ruling over an older man, maybe on a job. Maybe the older man is more experienced in certain things and so forth. But just as conflicts can arise, trust me, they also arise because that the old man, even though he has been planted, he's poked his head up many times out of the grave. I think I compared it one time to dandelions. I'm really amazed. Especially, have you noticed in the real dry weather like this, the grass, all the, but the weeds come up. We had our yard mowed yesterday. The grass was about this tall. I think it was actually shorter than when we mowed it last time. Why'd you mow it? Because it had weeds up all over. Down the driveway and all over, just weeds pop up. Dandelions, indestructible. When we had our church on Milwaukee Street, we decided to pave the back of the building to park the buses. So we had a contractor in, and he said, you know, if you're going to park buses, they're heavy, you need to put 4 or 5 inches of blacktop. So, I don't remember how many, but we put a minimum of 4, I know, maybe even more. Well, after it had gone through a winter, the next spring, we noticed little bubbles coming up, you know. Well, at that time, Bill Thorpe was on our board. So, I told Bill about it. He said, let me go look. So we went out there. So I know what that is. I said, what? He said, dandelions. He said, you know, if you're going to put down blacktop, you got to take off all the topsoil, which we did. But the roots of the things go down so deep. Now, how in the world could a little old dandelion push up through blacktop? Now, he told me that, and the truth of the matter is, I kind of laughed at it. I didn't know if Bill Thornton knew what he was talking about. But sure enough, 2 or 3 weeks later, he called me around back and went out and said, look at this. Those dandelions were poking their heads up through the blacktop. Now, the dandelion, I mean, you go just push it right down. How in the world does something like that have that kind of strength? I don't know how they can do it, but so help me, we had a crop of dandelions underneath 4 inches of blacktop, and they surfaced. And the old man's that way. You may think you have him buried, and you may think the tomb is sealed. But if you don't walk according to the Spirit, let me tell you, he's going to poke his head up above the blacktop. It's going to be there. It's going to give you trouble too. Oh. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, I read this real often, and it's very challenging to me. First, let's turn to Galatians 5, and we'll talk about the works of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth, verse 17, against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Now, that when it says lust, that means they are pushing and struggling and pulling, and one's trying to overcome the other. It seems like the devil and God wrestle every day over dominion for your soul, and it's played on the neutral grounds of your own will. In other words, you cast the deciding vote. And we go around all the time, God can do anything. How many of you believe that? Come on. The Bible says that, okay. So we're saying that, but sometimes, though, while we're saying it, we're not really allowing God to do it. In other words, we don't make the decisions that we need to make to keep the devil from controlling the flesh. Verse 18, but if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, strafe, sedations, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Now, all of these, if any of these are present in your life, you know what it means? Listen, if you continue to practice these things, you can come to church as much as you want to. You can talk in tongues as much as you want to. But the truth of the matter is, the old man is ruling over the young man. You need to push him down again. Chop all the works of the flesh off. Make sure that you spray him real good with some kind of Weed Be Gone or Roundup or something. Because as spiritual as you want to be, if you allow the old man to rule, let me tell you, you're not spiritual. And notice what the Bible says, and they which do such shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's why Paul says in Romans 8, to be spiritually minded is life, but to be carnally minded is death. This is the reason why you hear people that are kind of transitioning between the spirit and the flesh. They come up with all these ideas about, you know, do I have to do that to be saved? Would God send me to hell if I did that? And the truth of the matter is, it's not God sending you to hell as much as a choice that you make that's sending you to hell. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So that is the fruit of the Spirit. So keep in mind now that if you have trouble controlling yourself, regardless of what it is, something as simple as maybe, when I say as simple, we don't consider it to be so major, you know, when we kind of lose our cool and we tell people what we think about them. Try to get even with them. That's why Paul says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. But sometimes we sit around and say, now, what should I do to get even? You know. Oh, I think I know what I can do. I can plaster it on Facebook. Tell everybody how I feel about somebody. But really what you're doing, you're telling people just how much the old man is ruling. We should walk in his steps, Peter said, when he suffered. Guess what? He didn't strike back. The Bible says concerning a bishop, not a striker. Now that doesn't mean going on strike because you don't want to work for wages. I mean, he's not striking back. You know, this business of turning the other cheek, that sounds so simple, but you know, it's not so simple. Sometimes the old man is just ready to rip away. And all you have to do is just give in a little bit, and there you are, saying something that you shouldn't say, hurting somebody's feelings, blaspheming somebody, Facebooking. And then you come back to church and say, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, you love him right now. But you sure do like to show people how tough you can be when the old man crops up. Somebody told me one time, said, good thing I have the Holy Ghost. Because if I didn't have the Holy Ghost, well, listen, if we didn't have the Holy Ghost, we'd all be fighting. Sure. How would you like to come into a church service where nobody had the Holy Ghost? Oh, my. Oh, the spiritual man must rule. But we do have to deal with this old man. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. In Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27, the Bible speaks of Adam. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now let's go to Romans 5. Now this, I don't think I'll have to read all of this, but it goes down through about verse 21. Therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Notice this. Who is the figure of him that was to come? So in the Logos, which is the Word of God that was written before the foundation of the earth, in the Logos was the plan for Jesus Christ to come into the world. So when God made Adam, he made Adam according to the image of the Logos. That's why there's Adam and then the second man, Adam. Now, the second man, Adam. All right. Did we read this one? But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So one man put us in bondage. One man was set us free. And that is Jesus Christ. Now you have to remember one thing about Jesus. Now I'm going to tell you something here. That's my opinion. I use the word my opinion, because you might talk to 100 oneness preachers and get a different answer. Okay? I believe there's one God that has manifest himself here on the earth through a fleshly body, Jesus Christ. And the purpose of this being the way it is because, you see, when I was born in the world, I was born in bondage because of my mother and my dad. The soul of the sinner shall surely die. So the pronunciation of death was upon me. Now, when Jesus Christ came into the world, he did not have an earthly father, but he had an earthly mother. So when Jesus Christ came to the world, I think according to Scripture, Jesus Christ, the general makeup of Jesus Christ was just like Adam when Adam was placed in the garden before he sinned. So, we have Jesus Christ then that had to make decisions. But he was made different. He was our kinsman because he had flesh. But he was also God in the flesh, God making himself subject to everything that Adam was subject to. Okay? Now, the important thing to remember is that because that we have sinned, we were all locked in this prison cell of sin. And we remained there until someone being born outside the prison was able to visit the spirits in prison, us, and came back with the key to death, hell, and the grave. So unlike Adam, who sinned when he was tempted to eat, he said, man shall not live by bread alone. And in all of his temptations, he overcame it. Now, he was tempted in every point like as we, yet without sin. But he was made in the image and the likeness of Adam. So just as Adam knew no sin, was innocent, made wrong decisions, Jesus Christ knew no sin and remained innocent because he made the right decision. But one had to be born outside of the prison to open the prison. Now, I hope that you understand I'm not teaching divine flesh. Because people that teach that, they don't believe Jesus could have sinned. I think the beauty of the cross is that he could have, but did not, and chose to associate himself with all of those that were locked in prison. Now, he opens the door and lets us all out. Even the Old Testament saints, after his resurrection, guess what happened? They rose from their grave, walked in the streets of Jerusalem and testified, and then ascended into the heavens. He let them all out of prison. So when we say what Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, there's much more to it than what you might envision. Because when you are born of the Spirit, you receive a new nature, the nature of Jesus Christ, the nature of Almighty God. So you may have been born in His likeness, physically speaking, but now you can be born in His likeness. I should have used the word in His image, but now you can be born in His likeness. But the important thing is that the young man has got to be boss. In the Old Testament, the selling of the birthright, you know, that was a big deal. Because the elder became the priest, the patriarch of all of his brothers and sisters in his family. He was to receive one half of all of his father's wealth. And let's say if there were five children, the other half was divided into five. He got a fifth portion of that too. So he had one half plus one fifth. In the case with Esau and Jacob, Esau was to get one half, only two kids, one fourth, so he was to get three fourths of everything that belonged to Isaac. And Jacob was to get one fourth. Plus, he was to represent the family to Almighty God. It was a big deal, see, because Esau really didn't care for things like that. And unfortunately, you know, sometimes when people are born in the kingdom, after a while, some friend comes along or some devil comes along and tempts him. And he said, okay, I guess I'll sell out. But you see, he puts himself back in bondage when he sells out. And every one of you that messes around with God and decides that one day you want to be a Christian and the next day you don't, don't go back in there and close the gate, because you may want out. Only God can open the gate and let you back out. You think you can come to God when you want to? Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father except the Spirit draweth him. You don't choose. He chooses. That's why he said, you did not choose me. I chose you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'd like for all of you to stand to your feet. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Lift your hands. If you want to stay free, let the young man be the boss. I say, let the young man be the boss. Oh, hallelujah. Let's worship him in the beauty of holiness. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, God. So I guess we need to ask you this question. Who's boss in your life? The old man? The corrupt man? Or the new man? The spiritual man? Well, that all depends on whose work you're doing. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Sing.